Lord, we love you tonight. And Father, we thank you and praise you for one more opportunity to be in your presence. In fact, we've been in your presence all day, even in the times when we did not recognize or sense you around us, you were there. In the most difficult part of this day for anyone watching or here who knows you as Father, you were there and you are still here.
Worship you, Lord.
We love you, Father. We just thought we would get together corporately.
Worship you, Jesus.
And magnify you. Because you own all the praise and deserve it, Lord. We magnify you, the God who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the omnipotent God, the omniscient God, the all-knowing one, omnipresent, every place at one time. You're in the homes of those who are watching. You're in this house. Father, we love you. You're the healer of our bodies through Jesus. You're the restorer of our emotions through the power of the Holy Ghost. We love you, Jesus.
We love you, Jesus.
No weapon formed against us or anyone that knows you will prosper. And every tongue of Satan that rises against in judgment will be condemned. And their righteousness is of me, as you said, Lord. Father, we love you. We glorify you. We release from the very onset of this service the healing power of God to flow in this house, to those that are watching, to those that will be watching way past the post of this service. Jesus, you are the healer. Life, strength, renewal, restoration. In Jesus' name, into the body, into the emotions, we glorify you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Maybe some of you haven't had your hug for today, or maybe you've had several, but one more or two more or 10 more is not going to hurt you. It's going to be good for you. So why don't you go give somebody a hug? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about tonight's message. Hallelujah. We've got some good stuff and some stuff I've really never heard exactly before. So praise the Lord. But before that, I'm going to get you real excited, and we're going to take up this evening's, I can't say tithe and offering, we don't do that, but the giving. So hallelujah. So let's just pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, I pray for those in here. Lord, I am believing for their blessings on them, for the expansion of their businesses, their employment, not just so that this house can increase, but Lord, that their personal lives can see the manifestation of your blessing, your increase, and your expansion. I pray for those that are watching. I pray for many of them, that you'll touch their hearts, and even people that will watch this in the future. Father, Lord, I pray that you will touch their hearts according to your will, not according to mine, but according to your will and what you place in their hearts to give to this ministry. Father, we love you, and it's by faith that we go forward. We thank you and we praise you. We pray that you'll continue to speak the hearts in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand with us one more time? I know there was a couple people you forgot. And if you have something, bring it down. If you don't, grab somebody. And there's a couple people I'll hug because I missed. So, Marty, can you give us something else to worship with just a little bit? Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. We worship you. We glorify you. Blessed be the Lamb. Blessed be the Lamb, worthy of all glory and worthy of all honor. Daddy, we love you and we worship you. And we thank you for your love to us and your love through us to them. And we give you all the praise, glory. Thank you for the Holy Ghost, who is our teacher, who leads and guides us into all truth, and your word is truth. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. How many are you are glad to be here tonight and watching? And I'm sure if I could hear you, you'd be saying amen as well. Glory. I'm so thankful for salvation, for loving Jesus. Can I just encourage you guys? I'm sure I can. Anything of encouragement. Please, please, for your sake, take communion at home every once in a while. Just, and it can be individually. Go to 1 Corinthians 11. Not now, but in those early morning hours or late afternoon, maybe your spouse is with you, but maybe not, or maybe not even married, or maybe it's just an individual. Just go to the fridge and pour a little juice or soda or something. It doesn't matter. The emblem is, it's just a symbolic. And go get a piece of bread. Don't make a sandwich. Get a cracker. Kneel by a chair, maybe, or it's okay. The posture is not mandatory, but 5 minutes of receiving his body and his blood, it's incredible the impact it'll have on your life. And maybe just do it once a week, or maybe once every 2 weeks, but it's an incredible, it's a spiritual experience. It can become a very spiritual experience. Smith Wigglesworth, as far as I understand, took communion every single day. I certainly haven't developed into something like that, but that's what he did, and he found a tremendous impact in his life. Pastor Dave used to say, and I haven't thought of it in years, but I heard somebody say it the other day, that the way to the miracle, or the path to the miracle, was just as sovereign as the miracle itself. Just as innate with glory and power and the sovereignty of Almighty God, what God does at the end. And for us, individually, that could speak of a bunch of different things for you as an individual. But for us, collectively, we're on this path called the revival. But the things that we're doing to get there is just as sovereign, just as miraculously filled as the end result, which is revival, which is all the things that we, you know, systematically think of that will be, wow, that'll be a wonderful time. So all I'm saying is get on the path. You're here tonight on a Wednesday night, and you that are watching, because most likely, and I'm pretty sure you're on the path. But stay on the path and enjoy it. Enjoy the ride. Because in this, there are things that are being performed even that you don't know, that the Holy Spirit is performing. And the path is, if you engage, in other words, if you just engage in it, things will be happening inadvertently just because they happen, just because the path is as sovereign to the victory as the victory itself, or as sovereign to the miracle, or as sovereign to revival as the revival itself. In other words, if you pray in tongues, if you fast, if you spend time in the Word, and all the different things that we teach around here as getting on the path, it's like that accelerator. It really is. And you've heard me say before, but I love the example, and I love what it says to me, is that those moving sidewalks in the airports, you get on that and you walk, and when you're trying to change terminals, they'll have, any of you that have ever traveled in the last several years, all major airports have them, moving sidewalks, and they move at a pretty fast pace. Once you step on them, you're moving about equal to anybody walking. Then if you take any steps at all, you're doubling or tripling their speed. And that's exactly what being on this, this is a moving sidewalk. Once you get on the path, miserable, hateful, not liking others or not loving others, but just if you do it, it will take you somewhere. It will sovereignly take. You cannot mess up praying in tongues. You cannot mess up fasting. You cannot spend time in the Word that it just sovereignly does not take you somewhere to the end result. And the same thing is true if you have two Christians walking side by side. They might be innately born of God, but the one that is doing this, what we're teaching, is going to accelerate. And they may have initially the same amount of faults as the one that's not doing it. But if you do this, there's an acceleration. Hallelujah. And I didn't plan to say any of that, but he did. We are back on fasting. Jesus. Hallelujah. No. Somebody asked me a couple weeks ago, are you through with that? And they weren't being sarcastic in any way, just thought maybe we were through. And I thought, yes, we probably are, and we probably are not. Hallelujah. I want to recommend collaborating, corresponding teachings, and it's by our good friend Gary Carpenter, who is seated here tonight. Not literally, people that are watching. Gary's not here, so if you're wondering, why is he not where I'm at? He's in Immokalee. He should be where I've invited him to come here. He's not in Immokalee physically, okay. He's listening to these services, and so is Angie. Hi, guys. If you watch tomorrow, listen tomorrow. But he has some good teachings, present tense, at his website on fasting. Gary's nicer than me, and because I started prior to the holidays, and Gary's waited and loved everybody enough to start afterwards. So, but they're corresponding. The nuances are maybe they're the same message, but the nuances are great, because Gary, by the Holy Spirit, is going to say certain things a different way that is just very, very helpful to getting all of this inside of all of us, and I've been following along, and I praise God for it. Hallelujah. Garth Brooks used to sing a song among many songs, and it's been many years, probably 25 plus, since I had a diet of country music, but I was raised on it. But Garth Brooks sang a song, and the name of the song, many of you will identify when I mention it, Standing Outside of the Fire. And just a few of the lyrics says, we call them fools who have to dance within the fire, who chance the sorrow and the shame that always comes with getting burned. But you've got to be tough when consumed by desire, 'cause it's not enough just to stand outside of the fire. Life is not tried, it is merely survived when you're standing outside of the fire. Basically, it's a really good song. There's no exception that I have with it. And basically, it's got a good video that goes along with it. But it depicts people in life that are scared to move forward. They're either paralyzed to move forward, or in what we're talking about tonight, their flesh inundates them, or causes inhibitions that will not allow them to move forward. And I just believe that there's some things that he wants to say tonight. I'm going to follow my notes. I'm looking down at him, as you can well see, because I believe that it's going to be important for me to follow our notes, because there's several, my notes, because there's several things that he wants to say. Living outside, or living at the threshold, is the hardest. Hearing but not engaging. And when I say that, I'm talking about the walk that we're on, and the walk going forward into change, individual change, and all this message. When I say this message, the people that are listening and you, we're talking about a message of that we've brought up with a foundation, but we know it's a message of change. We know it's a message of mortification. Standing on the threshold of that message, at the edge of it, and for whatever reason, not going ahead and stepping over into it is a lot harder. And let me say it this way. If you don't engage, and I'm not talking about going out and getting engaged. I'm talking about if you don't give yourself over to this, it's a lot harder than living on the edge of it and coming and giving a mental acclamation to it or a salute to it mentally and say, well, I go to that church, I hear what he's saying, I appreciate it, I believe it's truth, but you're not engaging. If you live that and you live on the threshold, and your flesh won't allow you to go ahead and step over into it, because this is what all of us know this. And this is really the main part of the teaching tonight. Stepping over into it, there is a fire. There's two messages there. There's the fire of the fight, okay? But this tonight's not the fire of the fight. We're not talking about the fire of the fight. We're biblically going to identify another very identifiable fire that's in the Word of God. But stepping over into that fire, though it has its extreme challenges to your flesh, it is so much harder, but so much easier. There's a dichotomy there. There's a paradox. It makes it harder on the flesh, but once you engage, everything that is invited to come as grace, strength, truth, it makes it far worth the fight. Amen? Living at the threshold is hardest, hearing but not engaging. Living inside the fire is the hardest, but it is the easiest. Now, right to start with, I've already kind of pre-identified or defined what kind of fire we're talking about. We're talking about the refiner's fire of the Holy Spirit. And, of course, we're hooking that up from the very beginning. I'm trying to get your spiritual senses and mind going down a road that we're hooking that up to this refiner's fire, to what the Holy Spirit accomplishes in us and against our flesh in fasting as a result. The threshold, living inside of the fire is the hardest, but it is the easiest. Let me give, and I've got some of this in my notes, and I'll follow it. I thought it was a good way to express something spiritual, to exemplify what I'm trying to presently get across about. Go ahead and step across it. Go ahead and engage. Go ahead and jump over there in this and do what we're saying. Begin to die. Do what we're saying. Physical conditioning, okay? The threshold of physical conditioning is the hardest. It's just like the spiritual. Why people stop is this. When a person begins and they say, especially this time of year, and I didn't even think about this in the preparation of this message, but everybody's got, you know, their aspirations of what they would like to do and those kinds of things, or at any given time in life. But let's not even talk about that. Let's just talk about the blatancy of anybody, any place, at any time that ever has any thought of physical conditioning. The threshold of getting in shape is always the hardest. And I've talked to a lot of people that have said, why do you do this? Or they've asked other people, because I'm certainly not the epitome. I'm not the total role model. But people ask, And I understand, because if a person thinks that what they feel or experience at the threshold is going to be the continuation of their experience, there's such a yuck in that that nobody wants to continue to follow through with it. And that's understandable. But that's not the case. Here's the reality. When somebody says this, now I'm not a professional trainer. I think I could train because I've read enough and I've tried enough exercises and different menus for the last 20-something years that I think I probably could train, and I've read enough on nutrition and stuff. I could probably basically train some people to a certain degree. When a person says this, they're in good shape. What does that mean? Especially when we're talking about cardiovascular shape. When a person says they're in good condition, well, if you're talking about weightlifting condition, you're talking about maybe they can pick up a lot or they've gotten muscles or whatever. But usually that's not the most optimum way of defining what conditioning is. Conditioning is usually defined to the level of a person's cardiovascular abilities. And there's about three main ways, two of which are top, that I have studied through the years. One, to determine, to say, well, they're in good condition. We know vernacularly what a person's talking about. Maybe they can run real far, or maybe, you know, they've got a lot of endurance, or they've got a lot of stamina. But there's a couple of main factors that are involved in that. One is what they call the VO2 threshold, or max. And that is V, volume of O2, oxygen, of liters per minute that the body can inhale and assimilate and use it for fuel to get the task done. In other words, if you're running or and whatever, or even walking fast or whatever. The reason why a lot of people, you and I, or I won't say you, but I, or that will run a short distance and out of breath, 100 yards out of breath, and someone that is in good shape, they can run for miles, and they're not breathing as hard as the person who's not in shape that runs 100 yards. It's the reason why is that the person that is breathing hard is trying their best to get oxygen into their body and their body to assimilate it. Well, you can't, it won't do it. The body has, through a process of time, it has to have an assimilation process where it will absorb, take in liters of oxygen, and then assimilate it. And then when that happens, you have more an ability to last longer and to go further. And that's why, and it takes a period of time. The other one is a lactic acid threshold. And the lactic acid threshold in your body is built up in your blood. And that's why when you start exercising or running, the lactic acid starts building up. And that's the part, there's a lot of different symptoms with that, but that's the part that just makes you want to give out. I can't go any further. Besides for the VO2 threshold, the lactic acid threshold begins to shut you down. The better shape you get in, the more the body takes and disperses and gets rid of the lactic acid quicker so that you're able to do more and go faster and go longer. And so those are two of the main things. So side journey here. For all you walkers, keep it up. Just, you don't have to be a runner. You're increasing your life and your years just by walking. But they will say this, if you ever want to increase your VO2 or your lactic acid thresholds, you can walk 1,000,000 miles and never increase those. You have to at some point, even with walking, you have to some point, even if it's a couple times a week, for 4 or 5 minutes, you have to get your heart rate up where you're really breathing hard. As long as you walk comfortably, you'll never increase that VO2 or that lactic acid. You have to get it up where your heart rate is, where you're panting and your heart is beating and you're sucking in oxygen, even if you're walking fast or running. I know this is like, aren't we supposed to be in church? But there's a point to this. Yes, we are. But you can increase those thresholds by those kinds of exercise. Now, how many are glad for the lesson in biological exercise? But it's all going to a point. My experience, and I'll tell you this, this is just to prove, and just a little bit more on this, just to prove how that same thing, in this it is kind of the same thing in the spirit as in the natural. If you increase and go ahead and engage and do those things to put yourself in that position, it gets easier. It really does. Obviously, when you first start out, you're thinking, that guy that's running like that, if he's suffering like me for 10 miles, there ain't no way I could do that. He's not. Once you get to a place, the same thing in the spirit. Once you engage in the spirit and begin to do these things, once the flesh begins to realize, I'm losing, and the spirit begins to win, and you begin to, there have been times, not a whole lot of times, but there really have, and I honestly, there's been times when I've run more in the past, when I'd had my mileage up, and maybe my weight down, and Alex can, he's a real runner, or was, he still is, but he's enjoying married life right now. But when I had my, maybe my miles up to 20, 25 a week, and wow, no, that's not a lot. A marathon runner will run between 80 and 100 miles a week at least to get in shape for a marathon. But when I would have my miles up to 20, 25 miles a week, there would be times, not when I would be running hard, but when I would find that gait or that pace where my breathing would get real comfortable, and it was really just like you were just riding on your legs. It really was. You hit that inertia where it's like, I can just go on for a couple of hours like this, because your body gets really efficient in that. So what I'm saying is this. That's not the lesson in all that, is this. Once you engage in this and go over into it, yes, there's challenges. But getting in spiritual conditioning and doing what we are teaching in this house, and especially in this season concerning fasting, it makes it much easier, even in the fight. Point proven, or point given, rather. Hallelujah. Get past the threshold of the flesh in the spirit. That's the point there. Fasting, and I'm going to have you turn to a scripture in a minute, so you'll absolutely know we're in church and we're good on time. Fasting is not optional. Why don't we just say that? Okay? Let's just say fasting is not optional. Okay. Gary Carpenter, and I'm going to tell you what he says in one of his, in several of his messages. He said, and Gary's painfully honest to his own detriment. That's why I love him so much. Such a wonderful man of God. He's so just open about his own life. We appreciate the teaching ministry of Gary for so many years. But Gary's has said recently, goes, I don't know how this got past me. But in the scripture that we're about to read, he said for years, even all the years that Pastor Dave taught all this masterfully, he said, for some reason, I really thought that fasting was something optional. I thought it was kind of an elective. I thought it was like, you know, I'll do the Word of God stuff, and you guys that want to, you guys do the, you know, the fasting. Go ahead. Don't eat. Whatever. But I'll do the Word and the praying in tongues. And then he says, but this. Okay, let's look at this. Matthew chapter 9. I want you to see it in your Bible, and I hope you do bring your Bible or your iPad or your smart device of some sort so you're looking at it and you're not just taking my word for it. I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 9. Now, we've went over that several times in some other messages, so we're not going to really teach on a lot of this in Matthew chapter 9 because we've got to get to some other places. But let's look at verse 14. Then came to him, I hope you're there. Is everyone looking? Hopefully you are. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. Now, we've taught on 16 through 17. I'll read it because we're here, but I'm going to go back to 15. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh away from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the new wine, or the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. Said there was corresponding messages that Gary's done recently. I don't know the names of those. I didn't write them down. But if you'll look back on some of his most recent teachings, you're smart enough. A lot of it has something to do. The titles will be new wine, or the new not corresponding does not go along with the old. You'll figure those teachings out. But this particular one here that we just read back into this particular scripture we just read back into verse 15, he says this, but the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. Now, this is what he says, just sealed it for him. Let me ask you these questions. That's the best way. The bridegroom is who? Okay, you guys are real smart. The bridegroom is Jesus. The children of the bride chamber, who is that? That's us. Actually, the word bride chamber in the Greek has another basic word, which means young woman that is married. And we are who? The bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. And actually, corresponding question here was, why do your disciples not fast presently? And Jesus is answering that question. We've went into that. We're not going to try to go into that again tonight. But here Jesus says that when I am gone, basically, but the day will come when the bridegroom, that's Jesus, shall be taken from us. Now, quick question. This is like see the ball. You know, see Jane run, see Spot. Is Jesus, now don't get spiritual with me, like, yes, he's here in this house. Yes, I know he is, through the personal. Where is his glorified body? It is at the right hand of the Father. So he's gone. Is he gone? Okay, if he's gone, then he's left. Are we instructed now to fast? Is there any clause there that some of my body, there's no elective? And Gary said it there. I saw it as an option. Well, we could conclude this. It really is an option if you don't want to engage. In other words, if you don't fast, you're not going to go to hell. But on this path, as a disciplined follower, and that was asked about his disciples, and the word disciples, the disciple means a disciplined follower. So for a disciplined follower, there is no option. For us, there is no option. Gary said, I saw it as an option for many years. And I think the reason why I bring that up, his testimony, is I believe that there are so many people in the body of Christ who like to shovel things. You know, when you hear you're in a service, and maybe this applies to nobody in here, or maybe there's people out there listening, who knows? But I do know this because I've been one of them. Not just about not about the fasting message, but I've sat in services where I've heard other men of God that I respect preach, and I'm sure there's been times where I have heard what they're saying, but it's always applied to somebody else. In my mind, it's always somebody that I'm not sure who they're. I can take a break in my mind right now. I can not really be engaged because what they're saying fits somebody else. When we hear from the Lord, this is part of our engagement, that everything is relevant to us. Amen? We're hearing it first hand, first person for us. Jesus has gone away. We are the children of the bride chamber. We are married to Christ, and we are his disciples. There is no option. So let's look at, as I said, as I began this teaching on the fire and becoming engaged and brought up that particular song, let's look at, stay in Matthew's gospel, but let's turn to chapter 3. Okay. And there's really no good place to just perfect place prior to where I want to go that will leave me any option other than just starting in verse 1. So I'll just do that. So follow along with me and I'll read, and we want to go down through verse 12. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say to yourself that we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid into the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you, this is John, with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with who or what? Who? The Holy Ghost. And the preposition, and with what? With fire. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into his garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. There's two things that John prophesies concerning Christ. He says that he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost, which is to come. Now, it would not be a misinterpretation by any means to say it like this, to say that John said it like this. Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Ghost, which will come with fire. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. But the Holy Spirit is the one who initiates or brings this consuming fire with him. The Holy Spirit, let me say this, the Holy Spirit has a ministry of fire. The ministry of fire is not only connected to power, but to the purging of the flesh. Acts 1, we see